Good evening and welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guest is Phil Shapiro. Shapiro has been host of Bound for Glory on WVBR Radio since 1967. It's the longest-running live folk concert broadcast in the nation. Shapiro is also a traditional folk singer as well as a guitar teacher. Welcome to the show, Phil.
Hi there, WEOS.
We're glad to have you here. Listen, I want to begin with, when did you begin to have interest in folk music as a child?
High school. Well, actually, when I was a little kid, we had Burl Ives on 78 RPM records. You can tell that was what they had before the big black CDs. They had somewhat smaller, heavier CDs that went around real fast.
Yeah, I remember the 78s. So, right. So you got interested via Burl Ives, and then...
Well, when I was a little kid, yeah. Uh-huh. And then it wasn't too much of a step in high school when my friend Peter showed up with a Weavers record.
Oh, yeah.
I know they're not CDs, they're LPs. With a Weavers record, both of us got really into the Weavers and the Clancy Brothers. That was back in about 1960 or so. Mm-hmm. By the time I went away to college, I was really into it.
Uh-huh. And were you playing by then?
Nope. But I was started in radio on a radio station that nobody listened to. It was called a Carrier Current station. It broadcast in the through the wiring into the dormitories at my college. And it had this big hum on it from the wiring. And listenership was, shall we say...
Limited.
And I was on the radio for 4 years, on the sort of radio. Came to Ithaca, got on WVBR. Uh-huh. And first day I did a show, I had 6 phone calls. And that was 6 phone calls more than I'd had in 4 years at Brandeis, which is my undergrad school.
Uh-huh.
And I was hooked.
So you landed at that point.
Yeah.
Listen, you define yourself as a traditional folk singer. Define that for me. What do you mean
by that?
Well,
I'm a traditionally oriented folk singer. It's hard to explain that. Most people don't follow the folk scene anymore. There is such a thing as traditional music. Traditional music is music that's been handed down from one generation to another, and usually modified a bit over time. And some traditional songs go back 1,000 years, and some go back 50 years. But mm-hmm. We don't know who wrote them, and we don't know how they've changed. They've just kind of come down to us.
Mm-hmm. It's like storytelling.
Yeah, in one form or another. I'm a traditionally oriented singer. Probably, on a guess, 30 or 40% of what I do is actually traditional. And the rest of it, I can tell you who wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it was written a long time ago, and some of it was written fairly recently, but it all has the flavor of the folk tradition. And it's obvious that the people that wrote it were, like me, involved with traditional music, and it shows up in their songs.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays, most singer-songwriters are not much wedded to the folk tradition. So, and I'm not a writer, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
The couple of songs I've written, I mostly haven't kept.
So not ready for prime time.
Well, right? No. Why should I write when there's all this good stuff out there that's a whole lot better?
Yeah. Who were some of your early influences after the Weavers and then that? Were you influenced by people like Joan Baez? And
no, I was never really into Joan Baez. I was into Pete Seeger a whole lot.
Ah, yes.
But also old-timey music, like the New Lost City Ramblers.
Mm-hmm.
I really paid a lot of attention to them. And most of my influences nowadays are pretty obscure. It's been a long time since folk music got a lot of international airplay, uh-huh. American folk music. And so my favorite writer is somebody that you've never heard of. It's a guy named Craig Johnson, who lives in West Virginia. At last count, he'd written 9 songs, of which I learned 6.
Wow.
Most people, you know, write and write and write and write, and they write hundreds of songs, and might be a couple that you really like. This is somebody who's really on a wavelength similar to mine.
How did you find out about him?
I just kept stumbling on these songs. He's never recorded any of them. He's
That's
a fiddle player.
Wow.
And he's recorded as a fiddle player. But other people recorded these songs, and after I'd learned a couple of them, I started wondering who this guy was. Eventually met him. I'm not actually planning on singing any of his stuff today, but he's my favorite songwriter,
uh-huh.
and he's really obscure.
Well, so are the traditional ones where there's no author list.
That's for sure.
Do you think you could play something for
us? Sure, I can play something for us. Let's see. Did you know that Arlo Guthrie's coming to town?
Yes, I do.
He's coming to town on Friday the 21st of October to be at the State Theater. And that inspired me to play an Arlo Guthrie song.
Terrific.
This is a non-denominational gospel song. That's the best kind, you know.
Non-denominational gospel. Okay.
And it's the kind of song that only Arlo Guthrie would write. It's called Last Train. And it's got a line in it. You know you're reasonably there. Nobody else besides Arlo Guthrie would ever write a line like you know you're reasonably there. So you can tell it's an Arlo Guthrie song. It's got a wonderful chorus. We don't have a chorus here to sing along with it. When I play music with Carrie Shore, one of the things we do a whole lot of is get people to sing with us. Anyhow. Gonna hop on the last train in the station. Won't need to get myself prepared. When you're on the last train to glory, people, you'll know you're reasonably there. Maybe you ain't walked down any highways, you just been flying through the air. If you're on the last train to glory, people, you'll know you must have paid your fare. Gonna hop on the last train in the station. Won't need to get myself prepared. When you're on the last train to glory, people, you'll know you're reasonably there. Maybe you've been lying down in the jailhouse. Maybe you're hungry and poor. Maybe your ticket on the last train to glory is a stranger who's been sleeping on your floor. Gonna hop on the last train in the station. Won't need to get myself prepared. When you're on the last train to glory, people, you'll know you're reasonably there. Ain't a man of constant sorrow. I ain't seen trouble everywhere. We are only passengers on the last train to glory. That'll soon be long, long gone. Gonna hop on the last train in the station. Won't need to get myself prepared. When you're on the last train to glory, people, you'll know you're reasonably there. When you're on the last train to glory, people, you'll know you're reasonably there.
Great, thank you. Love it.
Now, that's a song that makes a lot of references to traditional themes. Mm-hmm. About half that song kind of echoes back to old songs. Things like walking down highways and lying down in the jailhouse and I ain't a man of constant sorrow. Those are all things that come from the folk tradition. Arlo Guthrie grabbed a hold of those and put them into that song.
Well, why do you think some of those songs did have to do with, like, the isolated individual and guys on trains and,
well, there's,
you know, unconnected lives in some ways?
There's this guy who's a central character of American folk music. This guy is not happy. If this guy were middle management in a Fortune 500 firm and living in the suburbs with a wife and 1.8 children, there wouldn't be a song about it.
Uh-huh.
But when you're having a really rough time, that's when you write songs. There are hardly any love songs about happy marriages.
Yeah, and usually some of the love songs start out as love songs, and then one or the other of them end up dying. Right.
Right. most of the songs in American folk music. Well, not most. That's a straight out error. A lot of the songs in American folk music have as their character this guy. He's a little different from song to song, but he's pretty much the same guy. He's on the road, and he's not doing well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's the old adage. They say people don't write poetry unless they're depressed or suicidal, right? I mean, it sounds like you're saying that's the tradition in folk music.
Well, it's true, but you know, a lot of those songs are happy songs. This is one of the things that people don't understand about the blues. The blues is supposed to be about being depressed. Nah, blues is great fun. Blues is fun and it's good to dance to, and you do these lively songs, you feel better.
You are listening to Out of Bounds on WEOS. I'm Tish Perlman, and my guest is the one and only Phil Shapiro. I wanted to ask you about the early days of Bound for Glory. How did that even come about? Did you just say, I want to have a folk music live concert broadcast? How did it come about?
Well, no. When I was an undergrad, a friend of mine had a radio show on our campus, Carrier Current Station. And he didn't have very much in the way of music to play. Well, I had this collection of LPs, so I was real useful. And before too long, I was doing an hour of the show. And after a couple of months, I kind of inherited the show. And then I started bringing performers into the studios. There was a lot of music going around to play on the radio. And when I came to Ithaca, I made a beeline for the radio station. And I went there and I said, hey, I've been on the air for 4 years, not realizing that I was sort of on bogus radio. Before too long, there I was on the radio. And I started doing the same thing. I'd meet musicians and I'd bring them into the studios. And I brought some pretty amazing people into the studios, including the Highwood String Band back then. Mm. And then I started doing these folk festivals on the radio, broadcast from Annabelle Taylor Hall at Cornell. And we'd get some phone lines set up by the phone company. And we'd just run incredible amounts of music. Sometimes we'd extend the three-hour show into a 4 or 5-hour show.
Wow.
And we'd be over there at Annabelle Taylor Hall with a live audience and just do musicians after musicians after musicians. Did that a few times. Come the fall of 69, program director at WVBR said, we're moving you to 1 in the morning on Saturday night.
Oh, my goodness.
And I wasn't very happy about that and raised as much fuss as I could. And he said, all right, you can continue being on Sunday nights from 8 to 11 if you'll go live from Annabelle Taylor every single Sunday.
Ooh, what a challenge.
He was pretty sure I wasn't going to be able to do that. He was wrong.
Is he dead now?
Well,
no. Have you outlived
him?
He's
long gone from WVBR. And I started doing live concerts. And as you can tell, I did some live concerts in 67 to 68 also. Mm-hmm. But I've been doing, since the fall of 69, doing pretty much what I'm doing right now.
Mm-hmm. It must be hard work.
It is hard work, and it's unpaid work.
Yeah,
But it goes very well. Back in 69, all the musicians were folks who lived in this area, and some of them were very good, and some of them were not. And I was putting musicians on, as often as 3 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
And then as time went on, the word about the show went out, and I started attracting musicians from a wider range. I remember being how excited I was the first time I had a fella on who actually had an LP out.
I was just going to ask you about that.
LPs are not like CDs. Nowadays, everybody can make a CD.
Yeah.
You can make one on your computer and send it off. A couple of weeks, come back with a few hundred copies of it. back then it was a bigger deal, quite a bigger deal, and very expensive. And this guy named Jeffrey Commodore, I never heard of him again, came and did my show, and it was really exciting. He was a genuine recording artist. As time went on, the show got more and more reputation, and the reason for that, the performers don't get paid to do Bound for Glory. Mm-hmm. I get an incredible lineup of people who don't get paid, to the point that, with the possible exception of playing at the White House, which is also a non-paying gig, it's not out of the question that I run the most prestigious non-paying gig in North America.
I don't know if that's true.
I made that up. But it might be. And I get people from all over the place, and they've spread the word around. And nowadays, I never put people on any more than once a year. It's usually once every 2 or 3 or 5 or 10. Mm-hmm. I've had so many people on the show, I get people who haven't been on the show for 15 and 20 years coming back.
Do you actually screen before you? You must have a lot of people requesting to come on.
Do you
make sure that they really are talented?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you have a criterion too? Do they have to be recorded?
No.
Okay.
But they have to be good.
Yeah, so if they're not recorded, how do you find out if they're good?
Well, usually they've got at least a cassette tape or something they can send me. Sometimes I hear people live. Sometimes I seek people out. Sometimes people seek me out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what $3 a gallon gasoline is going to do to this. but for the moment, I'm getting lots of really excellent people.
Yeah.
And there are lots of excellent people in the region that I tend not to put on all that often because, there's all these people that, if I can only get them on that day and they live 2,000 miles away, I better book them.
That's right.
And so what I'm hoping to do maybe this winter is get a few more of the really good regional folks on. They're not no negative about being regional. They just happen to live around here.
Yeah, I understand what you mean.
So we're going to see if we can't do a little bit in that direction.
I want to talk about the fact that you hooked up with Carrie Shore a few years ago and started playing with her.
Right.
Tell us about that.
Well, Carrie is a wonderful fiddler. She comes from Binghamton. She's classically trained. In the folk world, that's anathema. Classically trained musicians who play folk music are usually stiff and...
down and out, right?
Right. Well, not down and dirty, anyhow. And excessively rigid. Carrie is an incredible technician. But she's real loose, and she can throw bluesy licks into stuff, and we're equal partners. She leads as many songs as I do, and she's a fine harmonizer, and she makes her fiddle talk, and I'm really excited to be playing music with her.
Uh-huh. Did you get together and create new arrangements, or do you use traditional ones?
Arrangements aren't traditional. Songs are traditional.
Uh-huh. But there are some traditional arrangements that people will follow.
More in jazz than in folk. In folk,
really?
It's sort of what you do with it.
Well, I'm referring to the fact that everybody does certain songs the way Joan Baez translated them.
But that's the way she did it.
Yeah, right.
That's not the way I do them. But Carrie and I have been playing together now for 3.5 years. I've always done some gigs.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about that the other day. I think I did my first ever gig in 1965, which means that was 40 years ago.
It does.
This is scary.
You've been around for a long time.
So I always did a few gigs every year, but something clicked when Carrie and I took up making music together, and I think we're somewhere around our 85th gig together.
That's amazing.
And it's not full time. If we were full time, it'd be a lot more than that. Mm. But for a couple of part time musicians to do that many gigs, it means that basically a couple times a month we're out and about. Sometimes more, sometimes less, but that's what it averages out to.
Oh,
and we're all over New York State and Pennsylvania, and we're going to have our first New York City gig at the end of October.
Oh, that's great.
And we'll be out in Fredonia on the western tip of the state. And the limitation is more or less how much we're willing to drive.
And maybe a little bit less so with the gas prices these days, right?
I can't make a living at this, neither can Carrie. There's sort of a race going on, which is the quality of the gigs we're playing is much, much better than it was. We're going places where people actually come to see us, as opposed to cafes where we're background music.
Uh-huh.
And we stopped playing the cafes where we're background music. And nearly all the shows that we do are places where the audience pays attention. And that's very important to us, because if we're not going to be in it to get rich, and we certainly aren't, then we must be in it for something else. And that would be, we're in it to communicate with people,
mm-hmm.
and to share music with people. And maybe a little bit to show people that it's okay to share music with us. Many of our songs, like the last one, have really good choruses. And we get people singing. People don't sing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
People
right.
sing once a year, well, twice a year. They sing Happy Birthday at somebody's party, and they'll sing Auld Lang Syne at midnight on New Year's Eve. And that's about it. Some people sing some Christmas carols. But we like it when people sing with us, and we really encourage that. And usually we get people to sing. Sometimes mm-hmm. they're kind of flabbergasted to find they actually did it, because it's not done.
Yeah.
But it's a way of saying, okay, I've got some music in me too. As a friend of mine says, it's a muscle. Mm-hmm. You can choose to exercise it or not.
Right. And can you actually exercise it for us again by singing us another song?
Oh, okay, sure. This is another song with a marvelous chorus. It was written by a guy from Nova Scotia that none of you have heard of. Name is Alistair MacGillivray. They still think they're in Scotland over there, you know. from Marion Bridge on the Mira River in Cape Breton Island at the northeastern tip of Nova Scotia. I've been there. We went to Nova Scotia on vacation, so we had to go to Marion Bridge. And it was raining and it was cold, but I have my picture taken from the Marion Bridge sign. And this is a song about summer. Remember summer?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't all that long ago
that
we had summer. And it's something wonderful happens in the last verse of this song. And I hope at some point in your life what happens to the fella in the last verse of this song happens to you. Out on the Mira, on warm afternoons, old men go fishing with black line and spoons. And if they catch nothing, they never complain. I wish I was with them again. Can you imagine a piece of the universe more fit for princes and kings? I'll trade you 10 of your cities for Marion Bridge and the pleasure it brings. The boys on the boats call to girls by the shore, teasing the ones that they dearly adore. And into the evening, the courting begins. I wish I was with them again. Can you imagine a piece of the universe more fit for princes and kings? I'll trade you 10 of your cities for Marion Bridge and the pleasure it brings. Out on the Mira, on soft summer nights, bonfires blaze to the children's delight. Dance round the flames, singing songs with their friends. I wish I was with them again. Can you imagine a piece of the universe more fit for princes and kings? I'll trade you 10 of your cities for Marion Bridge and the pleasure it brings. Over the ashes, the stories are told of witches and werewolves and Oak Island gold. The stars on the river face sparkle and spin. I wish I was with them again. Can you imagine a piece of the universe more fit for princes and kings? I'll trade you 10 of your cities for Marion Bridge and the pleasure it brings. Out on the Myra, the people are kind. They treat you to homebrew and help you unwind. If you come broken, they'll see that you mend. I wish I was with them again. Can you imagine a piece of the universe more fit for princes and kings? I'll trade you 10 of your cities for Marion Bridge and the pleasure it brings. I'll leave you now with a wish you go well. Sweet be your dreams, may your happiness swell. I'll leave you here, for my journey begins. I'm going to be with them again. Can you imagine a piece of the universe more fit for princes and kings? I'll trade you 10 of your cities for Marion Bridge and the pleasure it brings.
Thank you. That was great.
It's one of my current favorites.
What do you look for in a song prior to wanting to perform it?
Oh, that's a toughie.
What, to talk something about the song you just sang. What appealed to you?
I'm looking for something universal.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking for something that talks to me and that gets some sort of a real emotional reaction from me. Sometimes just something that's funny. I mean, sometimes if it makes me laugh, I like to sing it.
Mm-hmm.
But that one really reverberates with who I am. And so I would learn a song like that just for myself, and then I might try performing it and see if other people felt the same universality. I actually knew it would, because I sing that at folk sings and jam sessions and such like that, and people respond to it. Not because, so I don't pick a song because I think it'll further my career.
Right.
I pick a song because I think it'll be important to people.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know, we are running out of time, so
sorry.
I do want to get this in. If people want to get in touch with you to take guitar lessons or get a copy of your and Carrie CD, how do they get in touch with you?
Well, let's see. How about an email address?
Fine.
My initials, PDS, Philip Donald Shapiro, number 1010 at Cornell. 2ls.edu.
Mm-hmm.
PDS10 at cornell.edu, probably the best way. I teach group folk guitar lessons only these days. And the Phil Shapiro and Carrie Shore CD, well, it's a live CD. It's just like us in concert.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you so much for joining me. We have run out of time.
Okay.
Out of Bounds is produced by Tim Reppert at Rep Studio in Ithaca. We are a project of the Women's Interfaith Institute in Seneca Falls. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega. If you want to talk to us, you can email us at weos@hws.edu. We'll be back next week. I'm Tish Perlman.